Episode 1. Today marks the beginning of my 17th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. For the past 17 years, every year I've been a priest, I've dedicated all of my Sunday sermons during the month of October to preaching about how the Lord Jesus asks us to live in communion with Him now, so that hopefully someday we will be blessed to live with Him forever in heaven. In a happy act of divine providence, our 17th annual pro-life mini-series begins with the opening of the third extraordinary synod on the family in Vatican City. This extraordinary synod will be followed by an ordinary synod on the family next year in Rome in October of 2015. The synod on the family began this morning, and if you got up very early this morning, you probably saw Mass on television, the solemn Mass offered at St. Peter's by His Holiness Pope Francis. And it will conclude 2 weeks from today, on October 19th, on World Mission Sunday, as the Pope sends us out and at the same time beatifies the servant of God, Pope Paul VI, the author of that inspirational encyclical, Humanae Vitae, on human life. At the Synod tomorrow morning, the first opening session in the Paul VI Audience Hall, there'll be 253 participants from 5 continents, including from our own country, the President of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Archbishop Joseph Kurtz from Louisville, Kentucky, my former rector, Cardinal Dolan from New York, Cardinal Worrell from Washington, D.C., and 13 married men and women. Two married couples from the United States of America, Steve and Claudia Schultz, who are members of the International Catholic Engaged Encounter, and one couple from our backyard in La Crosse, Wisconsin, Jeffrey and Allison Heinzen. Jeff is the director of Natural Family Planning in La Crosse, and Alice, a member of the Natural Family Planning Advisory Board of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. This full synod tomorrow will be entitled, officially, Pastoral Challenges to the Family in the Context of Evangelization. And in the preparatory document for the third Extraordinary General Synod, I know you probably haven't read the preparatory document for the synod, but it's my job really to read it, right? So I've read it. And they describe in the first section the current situation. They say, in the very first paragraph of the preparatory document, it says, "The social and spiritual crisis so evident in the world today is becoming a pastoral challenge in the church's evangelizing mission concerning the family, the vital building block of society and the ecclesial community. Never before has proclaiming the gospel on the family in this context been more urgent and necessary." And in the preparatory document, in the second paragraph here, it is just amazing. They describe the current situation of the crisis of the family to a T. And the language that they use, it's really something. I can kind of summarize it for you, this crisis of the family. Contraception is rampant. Abortion still remains legal. There's the abomination of same-gender get-togethers or so-called unions between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. There's the increase of divorce and infidelity. There's men and women not getting married in the church and not getting even married, period. This widespread living together before marriage or perpetually. And then it says something fascinating I never thought of before. It says, calling to mind the fact that as a result of the current situation, many children and young people will never see their parents receive the sacraments. Oh, I just fell. Many of our children and young people will never see their parents receive the sacraments. So the document says we understand just how urgent are these challenges to evangelization rising from the current situation. The list goes on and on. It's not rocket science to know that we're in a spiritual crisis. Now, in the second section of the preparatory document, it says this paragraph. The good news of divine love is to be proclaimed to all those personally living this basic human experience of couples and of a communion open to the gift of children, which is the family community. The teachings of the faith on marriage is to be presented in an articulate and efficacious manner so that it might reach hearts and transform them in accordance with God's will made manifest in Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Here's the purpose of the synod that officially begins today. It's not a change of doctrine. It's not a synod that's going to change doctrine or church teaching. It's a synod to discover how to explain the teachings better so that we might reach more hearts and transform more souls in accordance with God's most holy will. And here you have the purpose of my October pro-life miniseries for 17 years. It's right there. That the teachings of the faith are to be presented in an articulate and efficacious manner. Why? So that they might reach hearts and transform them in accordance with God's most holy will. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. Jesus knows that he is the life, the only way to a full and more abundant life. I came that they might have life. In today's gospel, the challenge is to produce life, is to produce fruit for Jesus. And Jesus says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of heaven will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. Now, of course, it's easy for me to read the gospel and say, Jesus is clearly only talking to the chief priests and the elders of the people, those wretched men who did not produce fruit. But we know that Jesus is also speaking to us today. That's why you all stood when the gospel is proclaimed at Mass, because Jesus is speaking to us now, today. Are we producing fruit for his kingdom? In many instances, the answer is clearly no. And yet, thanks be to God, there is always a remnant that does produce fruit. In the preparatory document, it states very beautifully, it says, in every age and in many different cultures, the teachings of the pastors has been clear. Nor has there been lacking the concrete testimony of believers, both men and women, in very diverse circumstances, who have lived the gospel of the family as an inestimable gift for their life and their children. Indeed, thanks be to God that the teaching of some of the pastors has been crystal clear. Thanks be to God that there is a remnant of men and women who have lived the gospel of the family as a gift for their life and their children. Where do you find yourself? Are you producing fruit for his kingdom? Are we producing new life for his vineyard? Or do we only produce wild grapes? The owner of the vineyard said, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? God so loved the world that he sent his own son into the vineyard so that we might produce fruit and have life. His own Son came into the vineyard and died and rose so that we might have life more abundantly. What more was there to do for the vineyard that God had not done for us? He gave us all the sacraments, all the means of grace, baptism and confirmation and Holy Eucharist and the sacraments of penance and marriage and holy orders and the anointing of the sick. What more was there to do for the vineyard that he had not done? And now I will tell you what I mean to do with my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to grazing, let it be trampled. I will make it a ruin. I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it. The vineyard will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. What a sobering message. It's right there. The readings today. But the good news is, God has not done this yet. God has not taken away the vineyard from us and given it to somebody else to produce fruit yet. The good news is, we still have time to produce fruit in our marriages and in our families. We still have time to have more children, and to make our marriages valid, and to get our kids baptized, and to go to Mass on Sunday, and to make a good confession. We still have time to change our immoral laws so that they are in conformity with God's divine law. This is why Pope Francis is having an extraordinary synod, to discover the ways in which we can produce good fruit for the vineyard. I ask you, in your kindness, please pray for the Lord's blessings upon the synod. Please pray that the synod might reach hearts and transform them in accordance with God's will made known to us in Christ Jesus. Our responsorial psalm for today's Mass is a perfect prayer for this intention. It's a perfect prayer for this intention to pray every day in the next 2 weeks for the Lord's blessing on the synod. We prayed, "Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine and protect what your right hand has planted. We will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life and we will call upon your name. O Lord God of hosts, restore us. If your face shine upon us, then we shall be saved."